Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a scripture passage out of Luke. We're going to take a look at what Luke tells us about when Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth, and when he went to the synagogue and read from the prophet Isaiah. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us this morning a great song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, a song that I think is familiar to many of you. So I hope you'll enjoy our time together this morning as we hear your word proclaimed. Let us open with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you. We pray that you will be with us as we hear your word proclaimed. We pray that through the power of your Spirit, you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, to understand. We thank you, Lord, for our many, many blessings. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning does come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Well, many people who know me know that I had a full career before I went to seminary and began my journey towards being ordained as a minister of word and sacrament. And so it was later in life, obviously, when I entered seminary. And soon after graduating from seminary, I was invited back to my hometown of Sterling, Colorado, to preach in the church where I was raised, the First Presbyterian Church of Sterling. And what an incredible honor I thought that was. This is sort of coming full circle. I began Sunday school in that church when I was 3 years old. I was confirmed and baptized at the age of 12. I was ordained a ruling elder at 25. I attended weddings of family and friends. I arranged funerals for both of my parents in that church. And now I was coming back to preach from the pulpit as a seminary graduate and a candidate for ordination. Who would have thought? Well, that Sunday arrived, and I drove to Sterling early in the morning, full of anticipation. I wondered how many of the people I used to know would still be there, and if the new people knew of my parents, or if they had ever heard of me. As I entered the church, it all looked familiar. I immediately saw some people I recognized, although they had aged a bit. I surveyed the sanctuary, and it was still beautifully maintained. The carpet was new, and the grand piano was in a different location, but it was still the church of my youth. When 10:30 arrived, we processed in, and I sat in front of the choir loft in the chair that had been occupied by the Reverends White, Davis, Frericks, and Rundus over the years since I was 3 years old. Things were starting to feel a little out of place to me. And when it came time for scripture reading and the sermon, I was graciously introduced by the liturgist. As I rose in what was supposed to be my triumphant return, something struck me, almost like stage fright. Suddenly it dawned on me, I was on the opposite side of the pulpit from all of my previous years with that congregation. I was about to proclaim the Word of God to them. I imagined that people were inspecting me with a critical eye. They were waiting to hear what I had to say. I thought they were remembering me as I used to be when I was sitting in the pews with them. And for a fleeting moment, I was filled with anxiety. I had returned home at the beginning of my ministry, and I hoped I wouldn't disappoint them or myself. I prayed for enlightenment, and then I opened my Bible and began to read. Well, I tell this story to contrast Jesus' return to his hometown of Nazareth, where he went to the synagogue of his youth. What we must understand, though, is that Jesus returned as the anointed Son of God to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. In our passage, Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, his time of teaching, when he begins to reveal his true identity and his mission here on earth. And when we see this scene in the synagogue, Jesus has just returned to Galilee following his 40 days in the wilderness, where he was tempted over and over by Satan. And of course, we know that Satan failed. Well, Luke is quick to mention that Jesus is filled with the power of the Spirit. We sense that there is a confidence of purpose in Jesus as he returns to his hometown. He has just defeated Satan, and he is beginning his journey of redemption for the world. Luke captures the moment in the synagogue where Jesus reads from Isaiah 61. It is the tradition at that time in history for someone visiting a synagogue to be asked to read from the scrolls of the prophets. And so those words are very important to us this morning. Those words from the prophet Isaiah. Once again, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's from Isaiah 61. To the shock of the people listening, Jesus then declares that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Yes, he's saying, "This is me. I'm who Isaiah is telling will come. Well, how could this be? The people in the synagogue know him as Jesus, the son of a carpenter, one who had grown up in Nazareth. Can you imagine the reaction when he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing"? When Jesus says he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, he is saying that he is the realization of the freedom that God promised in the Hebrew Scriptures. To help us better understand the significance of this passage, let me take us back into the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, for just a moment. When Jesus is quoting Isaiah and says God has sent him to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, he is referring to the year of Jubilee that is described in Leviticus 25, where God is giving instruction to Moses on Mount Sinai. God tells Moses that every 50th year is to be a year of Jubilee, in which slaves and prisoners would be freed, debts would be forgiven, and the mercies of God would be especially manifest. Those who have worked as servants to pay off their debt must be set free and allowed to return to their own land and to their families. And through the instruction to Moses, God proclaimed freedom for the people of Israel in the year of Jubilee. And through the prophet Isaiah, God promised that one day there would come a Messiah, someone who would proclaim the year of the Lord's favor for all the world. In Isaiah's time, the people had returned from captivity in Babylon, and they were trying to rebuild their ruins, but things weren't going well. The people were getting discouraged, and they thought God had abandoned them. Times were hard, food was scarce, and hope for the future was waning. And that's why God spoke through the prophet to give them hope for freedom and greater compassion ahead. Jesus is telling the people in the synagogue that he is God's salvation in the world, and through him, God's deliverance, God's promise of hope, and God's promise of freedom have all been realized, not just for Israel, but now for all the people of the world. It is so appropriate that Luke chose to capture this scene in the synagogue in his gospel. You see, Luke was most likely a Gentile by birth, well educated in Greek culture, a physician by profession, and a companion and close friend of the Apostle Paul. Luke also has great credibility among scholars as being a great historian, one whose writings are thorough and accurate. Well, the Gospel of Luke is written to someone named Theophilus, whose name means one who loves God. It's believed that Theophilus likely was a wealthy Roman official who helped Luke distribute his writing to strengthen the faith of all believers. Luke wanted to show that the place of the Gentile Christian in God's kingdom is based on the teaching of Jesus, where God promises all of Israel freedom when speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus proclaims God's freedom to all the world, and Luke makes sure we know that promise today. So tell me, do you think this is still relevant today? I, for one, am quite confident that all of God's promises, do not come with an expiration date. What was proclaimed thousands of years ago to the people of God is still valid today. But even while we have these promises of freedom, don't we seem to go out of our way to enslave ourselves? You know, my mother used to tell me that if I didn't have something to worry about, I'd create something. And she was right. I could easily become enslaved to worry. What about money, greed, power, idolatry of any kind? It enslaves us. Anger. How many of us become consumed by anger? Jesus offers us freedom. Are we able to forgive someone who has hurt us or wronged us? If we can't, we are enslaved to an unforgiving spirit, and it has bad long-term effects. What about fear? It can stop us from moving forward. But how many times in the Bible does Jesus offer comfort to the fearful by saying, "Do not be afraid"? The Holy Spirit is with us every moment of every day. Yes, God's promise of freedom is relevant today. It is offered graciously and without cost to those who have a relationship with our risen Lord Jesus. Let me close by challenging you to think about the importance of the word today in our own personal relationships with Christ. It's an important word. It's immediate. It's here and now. In Greek, the word for today is the word semeron, and Luke shows us that word in four very important settings in his gospel. At the birth of Jesus, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds and said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you, born today, in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." When Jesus was passing through Jericho, he went to the home of the wealthy tax collector Zacchaeus. And the people said, "He has gone to the home of a sinner." But after Zacchaeus repented and promised to give his money to the poor and to those he had defrauded, Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." When Jesus was on the cross, the criminal beside him said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So remember the good news and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ when we are reminded from today's scripture that when Jesus was in the synagogue, he proclaimed publicly that he was fulfilling God's promise of freedom for all people from that time and always when he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Friends, today we are called to relationship with Jesus our Lord. Today is for rejoicing. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us continue to worship as we listen to the great familiar song originally written by Martha J. Langton. Here is "Just a Closer Walk with Thee," arranged and performed by our own Alan Vest. "Just a Closer Walk with Thee."
Ah. my plea.
Thanks to Alan for that great rendition of Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Well, friends, it's wonderful that we can hear the words of Jesus as he was in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, when he revealed to those who knew him only as a carpenter, and they came to understand that indeed he was the fulfillment of prophecy. He had come back to reveal his true identity, that of the Son of God. And so it gives us great hope as we go into our own futures, as we know that Jesus, who knew all of our trials and tribulations himself as he walked the earth as a human, he is now there to help us as the Son of God. So let us have hope as we move into our own futures into this coming week. Yes, have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.